Our topic is go. That's the command of God to us. That is the command of Jesus that he gave to each of his disciples. God does not force us to go. And we are not to necessarily force ourselves to go. It is not just simply mere duty, and that's why we go. Even though we do go, it is our duty. And going is not self-produced. It's of the Lord. I want to read a story in the Gospel of John that illustrates that it is God that works within us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I want to read a story that illustrates that once we have a genuine encounter with Jesus, we become instant disciples, instant witnesses, instant ministers, instant ambassadors. John chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 5. And the Bible says, "Then cometh he," speaking of Jesus, "to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him of him, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living waters. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In this sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and said unto the men, Come see a man, which told me all things which ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. He said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said his disciples one to another, Have any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Verse 39, And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all things that ever I did. And when the Samaritans were come out unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy sayings, for we have heard him ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. What a marvelous revelation. What a beautiful story. It reveals to us many things that we need to take and apply in our hearts, that these same realities may work themselves out in our lives. This woman met Jesus at the well. She had an encounter with Jesus. Jesus asked her, Give me a drink. And she felt like, You're a Jew. Jews don't talk to Samaritans. Why are you talking to me? And Jesus told her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that talks to you, you would ask drink of me, and I would give you living waters. That's what we need. That is what we need. Jesus said, Whosoever drinketh of this water, talking about physical water, that person will thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I will give to him will never thirst. For it shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's what Jesus told the woman. And then the woman made a request. The request that we need to make right now. The woman said, Sir, give me this water. Jesus commands us to go. It's not self-produced. But when we make the request of the Lord, Lord, give me this water, then it is in us, it becomes in us a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What God gives to us does a work within. It creates something within. It gives us a new life, a new desire, a new burden, a new longing, a new drive. A hungering and a thirsting for souls, a longing to do God's will. We become like Jesus. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That's my meat and that's my drink. The story goes on. God points out to the woman that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Lord, help us to understand the truth. People, it is so very important for us to understand the truth. We will never be able to approach God aright believing a lie. There are so many false gospels taught in the overwhelming majorities of these churches of today. People are blinded by tradition, by the doctrines of men, that they have become unaware of the very gospel that's recorded in the scriptures. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. God seeketh such to worship him. And then came the final revelation to the woman. After she had pleaded with him, give me this drink. And from that moment, those living waters began to flow into her. Just like it will in us. Or just like it will in anyone who makes that genuine and earnest request of God. Then came the final revelation, Jesus says to her, speaking of the Christ, because she said, you know, we look for the Christ. You know, the Messiah's coming. His name is Christ. He will teach us all things. And then he told the woman, I that speak unto thee am he. She received the personal revelation of Jesus Christ. Whether we can detect it from the story or not, she had a personal encounter with Jesus. She received from him living water. She had imparted into her a well of water that begun to spring up into everlasting life. She had revealed to her by the Master himself. He said, I that speak unto thee am he. He revealed himself to her. And at that point, when she received the Christ, when she believed the Christ, when she received the revelation of the Christ and the blessing of the Lord, the Bible says she left her water pot. It was automatic. She forsook all. So many are not truly converted. There are so few true conversions in our churches of today. Lifeless Christians that have no more Christianity than that they just attend church once or twice a week. All the rest of the time, efforts, talents, and money are devoted to the world, the things of the world, looking at TV, enjoying themselves, being comfortable. Lord, help us. She forsook all. She left her water pot and went about witnessing. She became an instant witness, an instant disciple, an instant minister, an instant ambassador for Christ. She didn't know much, but what she did know, she shared. You see, the goal was automatic. Jesus didn't have to tell her, go and tell people. She did it automatically because of the work that had been done within her. That well of water had been genuinely given to her. The Christ had been realistically and actually revealed to her. She received him. And she told the men, which seemed like a very simple and unimpressive message. She said, come see a man. Is not this the Christ? And her words were with so much power. Her words were accompanied by the Holy Spirit. That somehow these words, this testimony, she told with such fervor and with such power, influenced the whole city. It influenced those people to come out to see the man whom she testified of. And then, as they approached Jesus, they asked him, listen, stay with us. And he stayed there 2 more days. And the Bible says that many more believed. And they told the woman, not because of what you have said, but because we have indeed seen him and heard him for ourselves. And we know for ourselves from personal experience that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh, that God would give us this experience. Yes, we may be in the church. Praise God for that. But what we need is something more. We need a new awakening. We need something deeper. We need something fuller. We need something more real, more actualized, more personalized, so that we might be what the Bible declares we ought to be. The Lord says, go. This woman went. Nobody had to teach her to go. Nobody had to twist her arm to go, coerce her to go. It was natural. It was a natural outworking of God blessing her, of God revealing himself to her, of God imparting within her those living waters. Jeremiah 20, verse 9 says, then I said, I will not make mention of him. This is the prophet talking about the Lord. I'm not going to make mention of the Lord, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. That's the way the word of God is in us. We can't hold it back if it's genuinely there. It's like a fire shut up in our bones. There's a burning yearning, and oftentimes we do not have this as professed Christians. How are we going to get it? Go back and find Jesus. Go back and be converted. Go back and be anointed afresh. That's what we need. The Bible in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. That ought to be our testimony before the Lord today. We need to leave the comfort of our homes and the conveniences of our surroundings and go out into the highways and byways, taking the message of the Lord to the lost. We ought to make it a way of life. And I can testify to you, according to the word of God and according to personal experience, that when the Lord has revealed himself to you, when the Lord has imparted into you those living waters, that well of water that springs up into everlasting life, to go for God will be automatic, just like it was for the woman at the well. Nobody had to tell her to forsake all. She did it naturally. Oh, for grace, that we would have such an experience, that would have such an effect on our lives, that we will go. We will go. God has commanded us to go. You know, it is our privilege to hasten the second coming of our Lord. The Bible says in Matthew 24 and verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. If you're looking for the last and final sign that will be fulfilled before the coming of the Lord, this is it. When the gospel is preached to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, when the gospel is preached to all upon the face of the earth, then will the end come. The Bible doesn't declare that everybody will accept. But for a witness unto all nations, everyone is to be given ample and equal and full opportunity to hear and accept the gospel. Now, it is our job as ambassadors, as Christians, as representatives of Christ, as those who profess that we are Christ-like, we live the life of Christ, it is our job, our duty, and our privilege to go and do this work, and play a part in the completion of this work. I want to look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, because this is important. Jesus tells us something. This is what he says. And he said unto them, speaking of his disciples, which means us to follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. When you go, the Lord is the teacher. The Lord is doing the work. The Lord has said, I will make you fishers of men. You don't make yourself a fisher. You don't give yourself success. You don't teach yourself how to do it. You don't have to go and twist the pastor's arm and twist the elder's arm. Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. If you just will follow me, you follow my example, you obey my commands, you read my word, you drink the sincere milk of the word, you eat the word constantly, frequently, daily, I will make you to become a fisher of men. I will give you success. I will give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding and how to go about fulfilling my will. If you will follow me, I will make you to become a successful fisherman of men. I want to read another text because God commands us to go, but he equips us to go. He doesn't just send us. This is what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, 19 and 20. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. My God. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. There's the baptism again. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The Lord tells you and I, those of us who say we're Christians, he tells us to go. And he says, I'm going to be with you all the way. I am going to be with you all the time. Always I will be with you, even unto the end of the world. But he says now, I have all power in heaven and in earth. That means that that is the power that accompanies us. All power in heaven and in earth. We have no excuse. We sit around and talk about how nervous we are, how fearful we are. Lord, help us. We need to be converted. That's the problem. It's not the fear. It's not the inability. It's the lack of being converted. It's the lack of having a genuine experience with the Lord. It's the lack of a heart change. It's the lack of self-dying. It's the lack of us putting God first and the world second and our own selves second. That's the problem. Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That means he will supply us with all power. All power. And then he commands us, go. Will we go? Will we obey his command? We look in John chapter 20 and verse 21 and 22. And this is what Jesus says there. Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. This is Jesus talking to you. He puts the mission that he gives to you on par with the mission that the Father gave to him. We are precious in his sight. We have a high calling. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. We have the same mission that Jesus had, to seek and to save the lost. And then he says in verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. God does not just send us. He empowers us. He gives us a great mission. He says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And he breathes on us. And says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You know, it is the Holy Ghost with you that exudes forth from your being, that convinces people, that convicts people, that converts people. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit that exudes from your person that makes the person comfortable and receptive. Or it may be the Holy Spirit that exudes from you that drives the person away. They don't want the Spirit of God. They don't want that quiet Spirit, that powerful Holy Spirit that you have. So they may hate you. They may say all evil against you. But it is the Holy Spirit that you go with. And that's the power that God sends you forth in and with. The same mission that Jesus had is the same mission that we have as his children. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, that Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is our job. It was Jesus' job. It's our job. "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." This is our job. "As the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That is our job. To set at liberty those in the bondage of sin. The recovering of sight to the blind. You know, people are blinded by error, lies, deceptions. By God's grace, we need to go to them and teach them the truth that we have learned from the Word of God, so that we can recover the sight of the spiritually blind. We need to be sent within the power of the Holy Spirit to heal the brokenhearted. There are so many depressed, brokenhearted people out here. The world has dealt them a bitter hand. And they are brokenhearted, with no hope, lost in this dark, doomed world. They need healing from the Lord. They don't need to be rich. They need to be spiritually rich. They need to know the Lord. They need the life of God within them. That's what they need. We need to preach the gospel to the poor, the spiritually poor. That's what they need, the gospel of Jesus Christ, hope. And the Bible says that the Lord has anointed me. The Spirit has anointed me. The Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me. The Lord has anointed you. He has chosen you. If you will receive him, you will automatically receive that anointing. And you are to go forth in his name. But Jesus warns us in John 17, 14 through 18. I have, these texts, Jesus is praying to his Father. But these words are so enlightening to us. "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth." Praise God. The truth. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Study your Bible so that you can know the truth. So many believe in error. So many believe in false gospels. God tells us that we are not of this world, just like he's not of this world. He tells us that we'll be persecuted, we'll be hated, just like he was. That's part of paying the cost. We're willing to pay that. We're willing to be rejected and despised of men, hated of all men. We are willing. But the Lord says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Study the word of God. Study to show thyself. As newborn babes, drink the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. God is a spirit, and we must worship God in spirit and in truth. Study to know what the truth is, not tradition, not what my church says, not what my pastor says, not what my bishop says, but what God's word says. Study it for yourself. Let Jesus be your teacher. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Be anointed by the hand of the Master. And go forth, making yourselves a committee of one to do the work that God has appointed to you to do, knowing that you must go. He's talking to you personally and individually. He's not just talking to the pastor. He's talking to you. You are a minister. You are a disciple of Christ. You are a witness. You are an ambassador. You are a member of the royal family, the royal priesthood. You are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. You are commanded to go. And the Lord empowers you. He says to you, receive ye the Holy Spirit. He equips us to go, and he goes with us. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Our God is faithful. He doesn't leave us alone. He goes in us. He goes with us. He goes before us. He lingers even after we leave. He just tells us to go. We are the instruments through which he works. Lord, help us. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, help us to heed the command to go. Help us to not just be nominal Christians or professed Christians who do nothing but sit on some pew once or twice a week and say on some rare occasion a word or two about the Lord. We're not disciples active. We don't devote our lives to ministry. We don't minister wherever we are, whatever our job is. We don't see that our main function there is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have that attitude in our homes and in our neighborhoods and in the store that we shop in and everywhere we go. Lord, create that within us. Make us have the experience. Allow us to have the experience that the woman at the well had. She met the Christ. She asked him personally, give me this living water. And she received the well in herself that sprung up unto everlasting life. She received the Christ and became an instant witness. It was the work of God in her. It was God working in her both to will and to do. Work that miracle in us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.